Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Ade, and this is Blackticulate.
Blackticulate.
Blackticulate. A podcast series that gives voice to positive black action, no matter how big or small.
What up, what up, what up? I don't know why we start Blackticulate like that, and it's just, it's my thing. It's like I'm a DJ. What up, what up, what up? All right, guys. Once again, welcome to another episode of Blackticulate. As you know, I interview millennials, UK, African and Afro-Caribbean diasporas, doing just amazing things, affecting positive change individually and socially. And today, no different. I've got an amazing guy who, geez, I don't even know how many titles he has. And this is one thing that we're going to try and dissect. But in front of me, I've got Chris, Ghanaian born or just Ghanaian? Yeah.
I was born here, but then I left very quickly and went to go live in Senegal and Ethiopia, Kenya, Egypt, Yemen. I've been around. Africa is definitely within me first. Yeah. If you want a place for home, I guess Senegal is it.
Senegal.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. So, yeah, I mean, that's Chris, guys. You're hearing him first and foremost. And if you just wanted to tell us your titles, I guess. I mean, how'd you define yourself?
It keeps evolving, if I'm absolutely honest. Well, this is probably the main reason why I don't have a business card, like I said, because I design, to some degree, I'm an artist. So another aspect of me, I'm a filmmaker, but then I also started making that shift between filmmaker to director and then to a writer. It's in there. I mean, if I was being honest, the first things I started doing, I was doing... I started designing clothes.
Really?
You know, and that was after I shifted from politics. So, you know, I'm floating.
Okay.
You know, there's so, no closed door just yet.
I mean, but you're young, and I feel like we had this conversation a little bit earlier where we have, what, in our lifetimes now, what, 13 jobs? And obviously our parents and their parents only had one. So, and... Yeah, I mean, why are you smiling like that? What?
I'm smiling because the possibility of 13 careers in a single lifetime, if you look at the retirement age and you look at when people really start working, you know, I mean, to some degree, people are encouraged to start working from, let's say, 16 onwards or 18 onwards. So in between that you're talking basically, what, 40 years roughly, from like 20 to 60-ish or 65, depending, give or take. It's not that long to have 13 careers. I mean, depending on how much time you invest, but to say 13 within 50-ish years, it's crazy.
But what was it? I heard somewhere someone said that they retired from doing a bar job. And it's like, yeah, I retired. I'm just like, right. So, you know, that would technically be one of their careers.
Yeah, I mean, well, anyway, then you can add another title.
So, how do you make your money now? I mean, what's your bread and butter, if you don't mind me asking?
So, the main way I've been making money is assisting with kind of brand consultations with startups or small companies, helping them identify or to position themselves against their competitors and to help them pick up the key points that allow them to make themselves truly unique, as well as being a filmmaker. So that's writing treatments, working with companies in order to create commercials or interesting content online, and then I've also worked as a freelance designer and editor for different creative agencies, and, you know, working on, I worked with a company, The Light Surgeons, I was part of the production team for the cinematic orchestra concert visuals for the Sydney Opera House. Nice. So it was myself and another guy, and then the director overseeing everything. But that was interesting. So I guess, I don't know what you would call that title, is designer slash editor slash filming.
I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around that as well. You are a storyteller.
Yes, I think the best way, I mean,
branded content.
Yes. Yeah.
As well as obviously the own independent stuff, where it doesn't necessarily have commercial, or do you always look for the commercial angle?
I would say that I'm definitely split into, I've intentionally split myself from commercial and then conceptual work. The commercial work is primarily working with like branded content, commissions from, you know, larger corporations or organizations, and then, you know, stuff in the corporate, and then conceptual work deals with galleries, museums, different art organizations specifically.
Okay. Well, Chris, then give us your journey then. So how'd you get into that? So anyone who's listening, you know, potentially see that as the same route they can take.
Right. I guess the point when I started to think I was sort of creative, when I was in school, I started off, I was doing sociology, product design, French, and I think, can't remember what else, and during A-levels.
What school did you go to?
I went to Caterham High School. That was a sixth form, right? But I will let you know.
You guys can see the way Chris is thinking.
I really don't like to admit that I came from there. But okay. Let's just say I went to six primary schools all over London. So, okay, you know, where I settled was like, you know, in that area. Let's not worry about location. Okay. Let's leave that where it is. What I started to do with a friend was started to draw designs on like hoodies and t-shirts and jeans and high heels, and I started to sell a couple of them. Okay. They weren't necessarily spray paints, but using acrylic paints to kind of draw up designs. And I guess I should make a reference that my mum was a fashion designer before she became a chef. Okay. So I guess that was there. And then I was going down the political route like my brother and my father, but one of my teachers said, oh, you know, you're actually quite creative. When I was doing design technology, she said, why don't you apply for an art foundation?
Oh, nice.
And I said, I was like, why not? Because I had a big A3 book of just random ideas that I was interested in. So I applied at this point to University of the Arts London. And I got rejected by Chelsea, which is my first choice, thank God, because that would not have been the right place for me. And then
hindsight, right?
And then LCC called me, I think it was on a weekday morning at around 10 o'clock, and said, your interview's in half an hour.
What?
No, 45 minutes. You have to come now or you won't be able to get in. I said, but you didn't even give me notice. So I literally showered, ran to the bus stop with my clothes all undone, pretty much got dressed at the bus stop, left half my books at home and some of my models. Went to the interview and then got in.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Like, did you just do that?
I swear to you.
That's crazy. Okay, so you're now in uni and you're studying?
I studied for part of my, so after the foundation, I did a BA at LCC, which was, at that time, it was a conglomerate of courses called graphic media design, but I was specializing in interaction and moving image, or design for interaction and moving image.
Nice.
Johnny said, do you want to explain a little bit what that is? Or
no, but that? I mean, I'm kind of, from that, it's almost, then it actually makes sense in terms of what you do professionally, you know, because it's almost
linked,
the bridge is there, it's quite self-evident. But did you take a lot from it? Was it a good, was it a good course? Did it give you a good grounding? Because if I'm going to be brutally honest with you, I did the same degree, not interactive movement, but mine was advertising pathway.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Like,
yeah.
I wish.
I started off in that course, but then I left.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the teacher. She's really nice, but it just wasn't for me. I had a moral issue.
Right. Yes.
I just couldn't sell you something that I didn't think was worth it.
Okay. But I'm just saying, I mean, do you feel almost like going to uni is essential, especially in this day and age, in order for you to be able to do what it is you do in a professional context? Because I'm almost then going to ask you after this, like, give me those sort of those steps, and how do you find
tell people stories, etc. So I'm thinking, does the course actually give you a good foundation?
Right. I think just to make that point is when you ask me what my title is and then, you know, what I do. I did my project, a friend of mine wrote like a mini interview kind of essay on what I was doing, and he asked me, so what do you do? And I said, really and truly, I guess I'm a cult storyteller.
Okay.
And I think that's probably the best way to put it.
That's lovely.
In regards to whether university is necessary, that depends on what you think university is.
Okay.
You don't, when I looked at university, I wasn't going to university to expect teachers to teach me and to instill knowledge into me specifically. It was more about finding which tone or form of communication did I need in order to articulate what I was thinking of, what I was interested in. So that was the point of university for me. And ideally to meet people. That's what I think, that's what university is for. Yes, I mean, everyone knows first year, you need a very minimal amount of work to pass.
Yeah.
So take advantage of that year. Obviously, you do more than pass, but, you know, that is the time to really engage, you know, with the people. I mean, I remember the first week, I literally gathered 100 numbers within 1 week.
Wow.
Just to make in as many different courses and as many different years as possible, because I don't see the point in having one set or group of people in a place that has thousands of people in there. Not saying that we have to be best friends, but why shouldn't I know who you are? How, at one point, not necessarily for my benefit, but one person I may know may be beneficial for somebody else, and I can be that bridge.
Connecting, 100%. You
know, that's what I felt university is important for.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, brilliant. So let's get into almost like the nitty gritties,
sure.
The toolkits, the how to's, right? How do you, so if I, walk me through, if I was a client of yours, say for instance, because you do brand consultancy,
yeah.
What are the questions? What, how's this process? How do we start?
So,
in fact, I'm blackticulate, right.
So now, you want free advice? First start is monetize your work. No, I'm playing. Well, I mean, the first thing is, whenever I start speaking to a company or an individual, in any case, whether it's for branding or for, you know, to direct something, a film or whatever, I first things are, so who are you and what you're about? How does your company relate to who you are? Because there should be a connection. The moral, your moral center should reflect within your company, first and foremost. Otherwise, you can easily sell out. And you can easily lose track of where you're developing or what you're growing into.
Right.
So before I ask about the company, I try and get to know the person as much as possible within, you know, most of my meetings probably last 2 hours.
Wow. Right. Initial meeting.
Initial meeting, at least 2 hours, which is why it's always good to have a coffee shop. But So the first 45 minutes, you know, who are you? What do you do? Do you have kids? How do you, you know, what's your interaction with the kids? You know, what kind of things are you interested in? How does your where did the birth of your company come from, in a necessity or an idea in your life? Not just when did it come up, what caused it to come up?
The catalyst, yeah.
And then from that, you know, what are the fundamental pillars that hold this company, and what is it that you wanted to keep going? What's the line that you're not willing to cross? What's the moral line you're not willing to cross? And from that, then you can start establishing yourself as an institution or a company with integrity.
Right.
Which is kind of why sometimes I had a bit of an issue with advertising sometimes, because, you know, it's trying to get you to buy things that maybe you don't need. And sometimes that wasn't always apparent. So with that, you know, once you understand you've got a place of integrity, now how can you make your idea profitable with your integrity still intact?
How? Jeez, that's a big one, isn't it?
It's a big one. But the thing is, this comes to the point, is how far are you willing to go?
Okay. Without losing your integrity.
Yeah.
And then you sort of then flesh out, because obviously I don't want you to give everything.
Then you flesh out, you know, if you're selling something, what you're selling, how you're presenting it, what kind of colour schemes are you using, the psychology of colour, who's holding your product, where you're buying it from, where is it being manufactured? For example, are you going to use a sweatshop in order to sell it for £30 when it costs you £1? Mm-hmm. How does that impact, what does that sit right with you in the long term if you're exposed for that? You know, how do you recover? How would you recover from that? Can you even stomach going through that kind of battle? You know, companies right now are going through some issues. if you're onto Facebook right now, you know, you're seeing some people getting exposed to some stuff and you don't want to be in that position, especially if you're quite fragile.
Okay, so you also do, I guess, crisis management.
If you want to call it that, I guess that's what,
Because, I mean, that
prevention.
Prevention.
Crisis prevention. That's part of, you know, the branding conversation that we'll have.
Right. And what was, do you remember your first client? Because how do you almost just get into that? How do people see you or recognize you as an expert in order for you to be able to deliver?
I mean, I guess that starts back from when I took a placement year during my degree. It was just after my second year and they said, you know, take a year out, get some experience. And in that period, I pretty much overdosed on experience, if that's one way to put it. We were required to do, I think it was a minimum of 3 placements for 3 months, but we had, I think, the equivalent of, let's say, 15 to 16 months worth of time in between finishing school in second year and starting third year.
Right.
So I technically worked 7 days a week for 16 months.
Jesus.
And balancing 2 to 3 internships, sometimes per day or per week. And I regarded, the way I divided my time was 9 to 5 was one job, 5 to 12 was another, and then 12 I need to sleep. So in my opinion, 5 p.m. is a half day. So, you know, it comes down to what, you know, how much do you want it?
Yeah.
But or how much you want something else that you want to do something?
But whilst you're doing all these internships, you still, did you know what you wanted, if you know what I mean? Because it still feels like, You're a man of many talents.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And you've got many verticals.
Mm-hmm.
And you excel at all of them. So was it just because of that internship, you were doing so many and you liked it all?
Mm.
I mean, are you a jack of all trades and a master of none, for want of a better word?
I wouldn't say that because I almost, it gives the illusion that if you know how to do a lot, you can't do anything well. Yeah. And I don't think that's necessarily true.
That's true.
So within that period, I guess to answer your first question is, I worked setting up or designing or completing a brand redesign for certain small companies, looking at graphic novels. Then I started working for a professional company or an established company that was working internationally, and I started doing packaging design. Okay. And then, I realized that wasn't for me. I didn't know what my role was within the commercial industry, but what I decided to do was take that time in order to write an entire list of all the possibilities and cross them off by the time I started third year.
Oh my God,
so I did amazing. Every single possible one that I could do. And within that, you know, certain things overlapped, opportunities arose. I remember with one company, Creative Leap, what they wanted to do was they're going to ask for an external company to do an animation for them. And I had a little bit of experience with doing animation and After Effects. So I said, before you go to them, let me have a go. If you like it, you know, you've saved some money. Mm. If you don't, then definitely go to them. I said, give me half a day. I pulled it together. They said, okay, cool. We're going with you. And I did the whole thing. And all of a sudden, I was animating.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. So find these opportunities. And I realized at the end of that internship, I wasn't interested in company in that kind of work in package design or specific graphics for companies every single time. So I moved on from that, but I still withheld that knowledge, that information, that process that they went through, and I've been able to apply that to what I've been doing with other companies.
Hey guys, before we get back to the episode, I just wanted to say thank you very much for listening to us. Now you can continue to support us by visiting www.lacticulate.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now let's get back to the episode.
I mean, I think it's quite evident just by listening to you are very meticulous, might not be the right word, but you're definitely someone who you see something and then you're going to just go for it, you know, regardless of if you have the resources.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Or just anything, you're just trying to make it happen, right? And is that because, I mean, if you haven't really spoken about your upbringing as such, I know you've got two brothers.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how I know you through the middle one,
yeah. Right?
Michael, who's phenomenal. Give him a shout out if you want.
Big ears, Dumbo, that's what we called him back in the day. No, very, 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 very talented, special guy, actually. Seeing him in a room is actually quite a bit of a spectacle. I've never seen one person been able to connect with so many people all at the same time.
You're absolutely right. And then your eldest.
Yes.
Then, talk to us about upbringing. Right. In terms of, I assume, because that shaped you, who you are.
Mm. I mean, what I can say is that growing up, you know, jumping around in different African countries, it was a great way to realize that wherever I was, you know, I wasn't limited to thinking that wherever I was the world. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people that don't necessarily leave their country and think, or when they go somewhere, they take their country mentality with them instead of trying to adapt to what's there. And I think the great thing is that traveling all around, I was able to adopt the cultures, the principles, the things that and how they function. And that I felt was an enriching experience. So I saw extremely harsh, you know, circumstances for families, for you know, homeless, hunger, poverty. And then I saw the fact that at the end of the day, there were still people that caring for people. Mm-hmm. It was very different. The mentality was very different to what I was experiencing in the UK. And with that kind of diversity of upbringing, what that meant, what I realized was that privilege is a luxury.
Okay.
And you know, if you're in a country where you have free education, borderline free travel within your own education, not anymore, potentially, you know, subsidized school food, to say that you don't know what you want to do or you're spoilt for choice, for me, is almost the ultimate luxury to a degree. Mm. Because I know a lot of people that would, you know, people are sacrificing family members just for education. And I think that's something that I can't take for granted.
Right.
Yeah. So to me, you know, I don't, if I want to, I mean, my mum every day, as we went to school, she said, you are above and not beneath, the alpha and the omega. You know, she really instilled a case that if you want something bad enough and you're willing to put in the work for it, then who can say no to you? Mm. And I think the point of that becoming realistic is in order for that to happen, sometimes working within an institution that stops you from growing is what stops you from becoming from getting to the top.
Okay, speak more on that.
I'm an advocate for being self-employed, or being an entrepreneur to a degree, because your limit is defined by you, not by someone else's ego.
Mm.
And I'm not saying don't go work for a company who may do what you want to do, but at the end of the day, you can set your own schedule in order to achieve the goal, or the goal of the collective of of your company. If you feel that's a family, then great, but can you set your timeline according to what you feel is appropriate for you in order to achieve what you need to achieve? And I think having that freedom and ability to structure your time and your day in order to achieve a goal for a greater purpose or for somebody else is something that's invaluable. Someone, I saw an example, there was a lady there, I think she was an illustrator, and she, her work day was, she would wake up at 11 or 12, go for a walk from 12 to about 2 or 3, do some food shopping, do all that kind of stuff, and then start work at 10 in the evening, work till 4 a.m., and then do run it all over again.
Interesting.
So she literally built, used, restructured those 24 hours in a day according to how best she worked. She works better at night. Mm-hmm. But if you're working 9 to 5 and you don't work, really work that well in the day, it doesn't work for you. You may be looked at as an unmotivated worker.
Yeah.
But it's just a case that maybe you function differently.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So I want to almost get into the challenges. Because you're a big advocate, obviously, of, you know, being totally independent as much as you can be. You know, work for yourself, have your own schedules, and just everything you've just spoken about. Just, but it's not easy.
It's not.
And you must be going through the challenges as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak on some of these? Like,
yeah. Okay. So I guess the reality of being self-employed is, there's certain things that you have to pay for consistently. So every month there's a bill or a certain amount of bills coming your way. So you have to be able to identify. I think one thing a teacher said to me is that if you're creating something, you have to divide it according to commercial and conceptual. Okay. What percentage of what are you doing is in order to survive, in terms to live financially, and then what percentage do you need in order to live mentally? Right. How can you live with your choices, and how can you live with it? How can you, you know, if you look at London wages to a degree, you can live, you can survive on your salary, but how much do you really need to live? So with the conceptual work, that's what keeps me alive. The commercial work is what helped me survive.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start getting money from both, then you really start finding that you can start readjusting your percentages. So like I said, some of the challenges are, you know, dealing with the bills. So what commercial work or what commercial things or what corporate things do you need to do in order to get a regular check coming?
Yeah.
Then with that, say, what creative work or what personal things do you need to do in order to keep you happy and sane? And I think finding that balance or finding that opportunity is necessary. I mean, if you look at the actors, a lot of them, you know, there's the stigma of working as a waiter or waitress and then doing auditions later in the evening. You know, that band, I did that. I remember I had two jobs and went to school and did creative things at the same time. And then when you, I mean, there was a point where I said, okay, no more.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you in a good place now? I mean, like you said, there's a constant balance, you know,
I mean, before I started doing my master's, I was in a very good place. I managed to pay off my student loan very quickly. I managed to save up to start doing a master's. I managed to acquire all of the things that I needed in order to work, so I'm not renting equipment.
Yeah, no way ahead.
You know, I paid for everything full out. I have that thing. I like to pay for something once and it's mine. And then I can distribute and do what I need to do. The challenges are, there's a point where how much more can you take certain things? So for me, retail was a point. I had to draw a line and say, okay, no more retail. Let me start using the skills that I've acquired from that and start implementing it within my own work. There's a point in that where where finances may drop, but then as soon as you start finding a rhythm or formula that works, you can start to build that up beyond, you know. I think Richard Branson said, as soon as you stop learning something, it's time to leave.
Yeah. 100%.
And I agree with that. You know, I think we base too much of our success on finances, not necessarily on psychological well-being.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I want to get back to the idea of you saying retail, that's enough.
Yeah.
But you can apply what you learned from retail into what it currently is you're doing. So what is that?
So
more specific.
When I was working in retail, I was working as a cashier. And so what you're dealing with, I was learning about their accountancy. I was learning how to deal with their numbers. I was learning how to, you know, what was their estimated kind of sale growth. I was talking to when some of the senior heads came over from Spain, I spoke to them a little bit, understand how are they developing, what things were they trying in order to make the experience better for the workers as well as for the customers.
Right.
These are the things that I started applying for when I started doing the branded consultancy. What are you doing as an employer to make your employees happy and also they can work further, work more or work harder for you? And you know, you pick up things everywhere. You never stop learning. Yeah, I learned how to do certain managing account books. I learned how to maximize, you know, marketing events, you know, from the company. You know, not saying they were particularly successful, but I think from when they were failures, I managed to understand why they were failures and then build on top of that.
Perfect. So I feel like, God, this has been great. this has been great. And there's just so much. I feel like I'm going to have to get you back again, round twos, you know.
Oh, my, man.
When the audience just say, get Chris back, get back. Forget you, Andy.
Yeah.
Chris and Black Tiki. Oh, my God. That would be brilliant. So I do want to, because we are going up to the mark. So I want to actually almost get the idea of, you said that you can, how do you monetize?
Right. Monetizing is probably one of the biggest things that I'm facing now. So with, I guess maybe one of the things that got you to ask me to come was the fact that I was now getting attention for some of the things that I've achieved, or people are now aware of the work that I'm doing. And that comes with first getting notice.
I ain't gonna lie to you, because you're Michael's.
Yeah, Michael. And then, but even when it started the dialogue, so you knew Michael, but then to even get him to come, it was like,
you're phenomenal, and that is true. It's evident.
So, I mean, it was interesting with those dialogues. So, first thing I did was putting things out for free. What can you afford to put out for free that can get your attention? If you're going to make an entrance, make it big.
Okay.
Right. So, the first film that I did, that broke some conventions, and that was interesting.
Don't be coy. Don't be coy, Chris.
Yeah, I had to put it out.
Yeah, of course.
So,
this is about, yes, the success. Let's put it out there.
So I directed and wrote a short documentary that played with the concept of how documentaries are structured, and with that I won the BFI Best Documentary of the Year at the Future Film Festival.
What was it called?
Hertz, which is HERTZ, according to, like, the scientific sound measurement, and then with that got some attention, that got a few knocks on doors, I got a few interviews coming. And then that led to an opportunity in which I was selected to write and direct a film in collaboration with a musician from the Royal Philharmonic Society. And they looked at what I did and said, okay, that's interesting, we want you to do something. So they gave me a budget to do something. So what I already did for free, I'm now getting money to do.
Yeah.
And then the point I'm at now is the case of, now that people know what I can do, then now I have something to say. Okay, I've done this, I've achieved this, these people have seen my work, these people out, you know, I have it. Now I'm exhibiting in Singapore, which is crazy.
Amazing.
And in America, which I'm still in a bit awe about that. But now that they know what I'm doing, it's okay, so if you want me to do something, let's figure out how we can make this happen. I had a conversation with a magazine and they called me in and said, you know, we've featured your work and you know, multiple times. What we want to do is try and set up a collaboration system. How you come up with something interesting, you know, does it associate with our brand or the way that we work? Okay, yes. Okay, what we'll do, we'll give you all our equipment and a studio in order to produce it, but we just call it a collaboration between the two of us. So I have no expenses at that point.
Mm.
But then I said, yes, okay, fine. But that doesn't put money in my pocket. So how can we come up with an arrangement in which we can create something that can satisfy your requirements as well as your audience, but also monetize the video content or whatever it is in order to make an income?
Yeah.
So don't be afraid of saying, let's make this profitable. because nothing's for free. There's too much going on. You know, the fashion industry is renowned for borderline slavery. You know, the hours that I've seen some people work are absolutely insane. And there's nothing wrong with having your head in your shoulders and saying, you know, I have bills to pay, let's make this happen. Because at the end of the day, they're getting paid.
Yeah. And I think, though, in truth, I mean, you even put the fashion industry in context of this.
Mm.
But if you don't say yes, someone else would.
Yes.
But that's fine. Because, like you said, it's all about your moral compass and what you're willing to.
And I think that's something, there's a balance. So it's a case of the point for me is how long do I need to balance before I can completely shift into one side, to the full conceptual side? Mm. And where I am now, I guess, you know, once you start having this conversation, okay, how can we make it possible? You have to actively search out ways of making things possible. So you have to have a business head with your creative mind. It has to happen. Otherwise, you will be continuously taken advantage of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But this has been a gem. I almost want you to... You've got open rein. I'm not even going to ask a question. Like, if, for those who are listening to you, A, I'm going to find out how we can get in touch with you if you want them to get in touch with you.
My address is... No, I'm playing.
But before that, and this is going to be, I guess, a penultimate question, is what would be your... top line, but if someone wants to almost emulate in your successes thus far,
wow,
are there any sort of, okay, these are the resources I use, these are the tools, this is how I consider, because I mean you've spoken about it, we have, but I just almost want some pithy bullet points, actions, if there are any you can give.
I wouldn't necessarily call myself a success of it. I find that word and my name quite weird going together. But I guess one point is to continuously keep creating. So I know that's a very generic answer, but what I'm saying with that is that, yes, keep logging down all your ideas for one, but what you start doing is start making presentations of them. So I have 4 projects that I want to make. So what I've done, I've created synopses of what they are, what they require, what they need, which kind of companies would be interested in, and then I contact them directly. So this is proactively searching for opportunities. Another way of doing that is start utilizing your network. I don't necessarily go out and say, hey, I need you to do this for me. I start to pair other people together. I said, this person's doing this person's doing that, you guys should talk, something good can happen from that. And then I say, if you know anyone from that that can maybe help me with this, you know, send them my way. I'm not doing it for my own gain, but I start looking after the people that I know first.
Yeah.
Because when you start creating an environment where everyone, for example, is looking after one another or sending things their way, you start to find that you start to get taken care of as well. Being present online, and when I say present online, I don't mean just posting on Facebook, this is what I've done. Target who you're talking to. And not just say, hey, look at this. We say, it'll be nice to have a conversation to see, this is what I'm doing. How about, can I get your opinion on a one-to-one? Because as soon as you get them to meet with you or to have a conversation, what you start opening up is a dialogue of possibilities in the future. I can even back that up with an exhibition that I recently was in. I met a director and he goes, you know what? I've seen your work. It's really kind of interesting. Why don't you come on set with me? And he's now doing, he just finished a TV series and filmed Stan Lee, the founder of Marvel.
Amazing.
So networking is one of them, targeting people specifically for advice, not necessarily for job opportunities, but just for their opinion, in the sense it makes them valuable to you in a point where you're not trying to get money from them, but you're complimenting them at the same time. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of much else, but there's some other stuff.
I mean, honestly, guys, so how can we get in touch with you? God, the great advice, man, like... How can we get in touch with you? Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, Twitter. Anything you want to put Twitter, there. Instagram. My handle is @IAM_CLQ. Facebook, I've now set up a page finally. So artist, and then at the end of it, you just put CLQ, and I'll be right there. And then if you want to go on my website, it's cl-q.com.
Brilliant. Well, guys, I think you can join me. Well, I don't know. I hope you can join me in saying that this has been another brilliant episode of Black Ticulate. And Chris, honestly, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And you might do a round 2. If that's cool. But once again, guys, thanks for listening and stay tuned for another episode of Black Ticulate. Take care.
All right.
I'd like to personally thank my sound editor, Chris Reese. And most of all, I'd like to thank you guys for listening. For more information on how you can get involved, please visit www.blackticulate.com, and also follow Black Ticulate on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter social media. Stay tuned for another episode of Black Ticulate, Black Stories, Positive Actions.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.